Chapter 55. Mr. Dombey goes upon a journey. Mr. Dombey, sir, apostrophe said Major Backstock. Joey is not in general a man of sentiment, for Joseph is tough. But Joe has his feelings, sir, and when they are awakened, damn, Mr. Dombey, cried the Major with sudden ferocity, this is weakness, and I won't submit to it, apostrophe. Major Backstock delivered himself of these expressions on receiving Mr. Dombey as his guest at the head of his own staircase in Princess's Plus. Mr. Dombey had come to breakfast with the Major, previous to their setting forth on their trip, and the ill-starved native had already undergone a world of misery arising out of the muffins, while, in connection with the general question of boiled eggs, life was a burden to him. It is not for an old soldier of the Backstock breed, apostrophe observed the Major, relapsing into a mild state, to deliver himself up, a prey to his own emotions. But damn, sir, apostrophe cried the Major, in another spasm of ferocity, I can dole with you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the Major's purple visage deepened in its hue, and the Major's lobster eyes stood out in bolder relief, as he shook Mr. Dombey by the hand, imparting to that peaceful action as defiant a character, as if it had been the prelude to his immediately boxing Mr. Dombey for £1,000 a side and the championship of England. With a rotatory motion of his head, and a wheeze very like the cough of a horse, the Major then conducted his visitor to the sitting room, and there welcomed him, having now composed his feelings, with the freedom and frankness of a traveling companion. Dombey, apostrophe said the Major, I'm glad to see you. I'm proud to see you. There are not many men in Europe to whom J. Backstock would say that for Josh is blunt. Sir. It's his nature, but Joey B. is proud to see you, Dombey. Apostrophe, Major, apostrophe returned Mr. Dombey, you are very obliging. Apostrophe, no, sir, apostrophe said the Major, devil a bit. That's not my character. If that had been Joe's character, Joe might have been, by this time, Lieutenant General Sir Joseph Backstock, K.C. B., and might have received you in very different quarters. You don't know old Joe yet, I find. But this occasion, being special, is a source of pride to me. By the Lord, sir, apostrophe said the Major resolutely, it's an honor to me. Apostrophe, Mr. Dombey, in his estimation of himself and his money, felt that this was very true, and therefore did not dispute the point. But the instinctive recognition of such a truth by the Major, and his plain avowal of it, were very able. It was a confirmation to Mr. Dombey, if he had required any, of his not being mistaken in the Major. It was an assurance to him, that his power extended beyond his own immediate sphere, and that the Major, as an officer and a gentleman, had a no less becoming sense of it, than the beadle of the Royal Exchange. And if it were ever consolatory to know this, or the like of this, it was consolatory then, when the impotence of his will, the instability of his hopes, the feebleness of wealth, had been so direfully impressed upon him. What could it do, his boy had asked him. Sometimes, thinking of the baby question, he could hardly forbear inquiring, himself, what could it do indeed? What had it done? But these were lonely thoughts, bred late at night in the sullen despondency and gloom of his retirement, and pride easily found its reassurance in many testimonies to the truth, as unimpeachable and precious as the Major's. Mr. Dombey, in his friendlessness, inclined to the Major. It cannot be said that he warmed towards him, but he thought a little, the Major had had some part, and not too much in the days by the seaside. He was a man of the world, and knew some great people. He talked much, and told stories, and Mr. Dombey was disposed to regard him as a choice spirit who shone in society, and who had, not that poisonous ingredient of poverty with which choice spirits in general are too much adulterated. His station was undeniable. Altogether, the major was a creditable companion, well accustomed to a life of leisure, and to such places as that they were about to visit, and having an air of gentlemanly ease about him that mixed well enough with his own city character, and did not compete with it at all. If Mr. Dombey had any lingering idea that the major, as a man accustomed, in the way of his calling, to make light of the ruthless hand that had lately crushed his hopes, might unconsciously impart some useful philosophy to him, and scare away his weak regrets, he hid it from himself, and left it lying at the bottom of his pride, unexamined. Where is my scoundrel? ... said the major, looking wrathfully round the room. The native, who had no particular name, but answered to any vituperative epithet, presented himself instantly at the door, and ventured to come no nearer. You villain! ... said the choleric major, where's the breakfast? The dark servant disappeared in search of it, and was quickly heard reascending the stairs in such a tremulous state, that the plates and dishes on the tray he carried, trembling sympathetically as he came, rattled again, all the way up. ... said the major, glancing at the native as he arranged the table, and encouraging him with an awful shake of his fist, when he upset a spoon, here is a devil grill, a savory pie, a dish of kidneys, and so forth. Pray sit down. Old Joe can give you nothing but camp fare, you see. Very excellent fare, major, ... replied his guest, and not in mere politeness either. For the major always took the best possible care of himself, and indeed ate rather more of rich meats than was good for him, insomuch that his imperial complexion was mainly referred by the faculty to that circumstance. You have been looking over the way, sir, ... observed the major. Have you seen our friend? ... You mean Miss Tox, ... retorted Mr. Dombey. No. Charming woman, sir, said the major, with a fat laugh rising in his short throat, and nearly suffocating him. Miss Tox is a very good sort of person, I believe, replied Mr. Dombey. The haughty coldness of the reply seemed to afford Major Bagstock infinite delight. He swelled and swelled, exceedingly, and even laid down his knife and fork for a moment, to rub his hands. Old Joe, sir, said the major, was a bit of a favorite in that quarter once. But Joe has had his day. J. Backstock is extinguished outrivaled floored, sir. I should have supposed, Mr. Dombey replied, that the lady's day for favorites was over. But perhaps you are jesting, major. Perhaps you are jesting, Dombey? Was the major's rejoinder. There never was a more unlikely possibility. It was so clearly expressed in Mr. Dombey's face, that the major apologized. I beg your pardon, he said. I see you are in earnest. I tell you what, Dombey. The major paused in his eating, and looked mysteriously indignant. That's a devilish ambitious woman, sir. Mr. Dombey said indeed? With frigid indifference, mingled perhaps with some contemptuous incredulity, as to Miss Tox having the presumption to harbor such a superior quality. That woman, sir, said the major, is, in her way, a Lucifer. Joey B. has had his day, sir, but he keeps his eyes. He sees, does Joe. His Royal Highness the late Duke of York observed of Joey, at a levee, that he saw. The major accompanied this with such a look, and, between eating, drinking, hot tea, devil grill, muffins, and meaning, was altogether so swollen and inflamed about the head, that even Mr. Dombey showed some anxiety for him. That ridiculous old spectacle, sir, pursued the major, aspires. She aspires sky high, sir. Matrimonially, Dombey. I am sorry for her, said Mr. Dombey. Don't say that, Dombey, returned the major in a warning voice. Why should I not, major? Said Mr. Dombey. The major gave no answer but the horse's cough, and went on eating vigorously. She has taken an interest in your household, apostrophe said the major, stopping short again, and has been a frequent visitor at your house for some time now. Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe replied Mr. Dombey with great stateliness. Miss Tox was originally received there, at the time of Mrs. Dombey's death, as a friend of my sister's, and being a well-behaved person, and showing a liking for the poor infant, she was permitted, may I say encouraged, to repeat her visits with my sister, and gradually to occupy a kind of footing of familiarity in the family. I have, apostrophe said Mr. Dombey, in the tone of a man who was making a great and valuable concession, I have a respect for Miss Tox. She has been so obliging, as to render many little services in my house. Trifling and insignificant services perhaps, major, but not to be disparaged on that account. And I hope I have had the good fortune to be enabled to acknowledge them by such attention and notice as it has been in my power to bestow. I hold myself indebted to Miss Tox, major, apostrophe added Mr. Dombey, with a slight wave of his hand, for the pleasure of your acquaintance. Apostrophe, Dombey, apostrophe said the major, warmly. No. No, sir. Joseph Backstock can never permit that assertion to pass uncontradicted. Your knowledge of old Joe, sir, such as he is, and old Joe's knowledge of you, sir, had its origin in a noble fellow, sir, in a great creature, sir. Dombey. Apostrophe said the major, with a struggle which it was not very difficult to parade, his whole life being a struggle against all kinds of apoplectic symptoms, we knew each other through your boy. Apostrophe, Mr. Dombey seemed touched, as it is not improbable the major designed he should be, by this allusion. He looked down and sighed. And the major, rousing himself fiercely, again said, in reference to the state of mind into which he felt himself in danger of falling, that this was weakness, and nothing should induce him to submit to it. Our friend had a remote connection with that event, apostrophe said the major, and all the credit that belongs to her, J.B. is willing to give her, sir. Notwithstanding which, ma'am, apostrophe he added, raising his eyes from his plate, and casting them across Princess's Place, to where Miss Tox was at that moment visible at her window watering her flowers, you're a scheming jade, ma'am, and your ambition is a piece of monstrous impudence. If it only made yourself ridiculous, ma'am, apostrophe said the major, rolling his head at the unconscious Miss Tox, while his starting eyes appeared to make a leap towards her, you might do that to your heart's content, ma'am, without any objection, I assure you, on the part of Backstock. Apostrophe here the major laughed frightfully up in the tips of his ears, and in the veins of his head. But when, ma'am, apostrophe said the major, you compromise other people, and generous, unsuspicious people too, as a repayment for their condescension, you stir the blood of old Joe in his body. Apostrophe, major, apostrophe said Mr. Dombey, reddening, I hope you do not hint at anything so absurd on the part of Miss Tox as apostrophe, Dombey, apostrophe returned the major, I hint at nothing. But Joey B. has lived in the world, sir. Lived in the world with his eyes open, sir, and his ears cocked. And Joe tells you, Dombey, that there's a devilish artful and ambitious woman over the way. Apostrophe, Mr. Dombey involuntarily glanced over the way, and an angry glance he sent in that direction too. That's all on such a subject, that shall pass the lips of Joseph Backstock, apostrophe said the major firmly. Joe is not a tale-bearer, but there are times when he must speak, when he will speak. Confound your arts, ma'am, apostrophe cried the major, again apostrophizing his fair neighbor, with great ire, when the provocation is too strong to admit of his remaining silent. Apostrophe, the emotion of this outbreak threw the major into a paroxysm of horse's coughs, which held him for a long time. On recovering he added, and now, Dombey, as you have invited Joe, old Joe, who has no other merit, sir, but that he is tough and hearty to be your guest and guide at Leamington, Command him in any way you please, and he is wholly yours. I don't know, sir, apostrophe said the major, wagging his double chin with a jocose air, what it is you people see in Joe, to make you hold him in such great request, all of you. But this I know, sir, that if he wasn't pretty tough, and obstinate in his refusals, you'd kill him among you with your invitations and so forth, in double quick time. Apostrophe, Mr. Domney, in a few words, expressed his sense of the preference he received over those other distinguished members of society who were clamoring for the possession of Major Bagstock. But the major cut him short, by giving him to understand, that he followed his own inclinations, and that they had risen up in a body and said with one accord, J.B., Domney is the man for you to choose as a friend. Apostrophe, the major being by this time in a state of repletion, with essence of savory pie oozing out at the corners of his eyes, and deviled grill and kidneys tightening his cravat, and the time moreover approaching for the departure of the railway train to Birmingham, by which they were to leave town. The native got him into his great coat with immense difficulty, and buttoned him up until his face looked staring and gasping, over the top of that garment, as if he were in a barrel. The native then handed him separately, and with a decent interval between each supply, his wash-leather gloves, his thick stick, and his hat, which latter article the major wore with a rakish air on one side of his head, by way of toning down his remarkable visage. The native had previously packed, in all possible and impossible parts of Mr. Domby's chariot, which was in waiting, an unusual quantity of carpetbags and small portmanteaus, no less apoplectic in appearance than the major himself. And having filled his own pockets with seltzer water, East India sherry, sandwiches, shawls, telescopes, maps, and newspapers, any or all of which light baggage the major might require at any instant of the journey, he announced that everything was ready. To complete the equipment of this unfortunate foreigner, currently believed to be a prince in his own country, when he took his seat in the rumble by the side of Mr. Towlinson, a pile of the major's cloaks and greatcoats was hurled upon him by the landlord, who aimed at him from the pavement with those great missiles like a titan, and so covered him up, that he proceeded, in a living tomb, to the railroad station. But before the carriage moved away, and while the native was in the act of sepulture, Miss Tox, appearing at her window, waved a lily-white handkerchief. Mr. Domney received this parting salutation very coldly even for him, and honoring her with the slightest possible inclination of his head, leaned back in the carriage with a very discontented look. His marked behavior seemed to afford the major, who was all politeness in his recognition of Miss Tox, unbounded satisfaction. And he sat for a long time afterwards, leering, and choking, like an overfed Mephistopheles. During the bustle of preparation at the railway, Mr. Domney and the major walked up and down the platform side by side, the former taciturn and gloomy, and the latter entertaining him, or entertaining himself, with a variety of anecdotes and reminiscences, in most of which Joe Bagstock was the principal performer. Neither of the two observed that in the course of these walks, they attracted the attention of a working man who was standing near the engine, and who touched his hat every time they passed, for Mr. Domney habitually looked over the vulgar herd, not at them, and the major was looking, at the time, into the core of one of his stories. At length, however, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.